Excellencies, Madam Chair, Dr. Graziano Da Silva, distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen, it's a tremendous honor and pleasure to join you here today and welcome you with Dr. Graziano Da Silva to this 39th session of the Codex Alimentarius Commission. And I do so, of course, on behalf of our Director General, Dr. Margaret Chan. As all of you are aware, I'm sure, in this room, WHO considers Codex one of the most unique and successful joint ventures of the entire UN system. WHO remains deeply committed, of course, to the Codex and continues to work very closely with FAO to support its work in ensuring especially the relevance and effectiveness of Codex's work in meeting the new global health challenges. In this regard, I'd like to take a few minutes before we begin the deliberations of the next 5 days to reflect on a few major developments in WHO's perspective that give relevance to some of the deliberations of Codex over the next 5 days. First of all, last December, WHO published, again, as I hope most of you are aware, the first ever estimates of the global burden of foodborne diseases. It was almost 10 years of intensive work and the work of over 100 experts worldwide that contributed to this endeavor. And what this global burden of foodborne diseases report found was that 1 in 10 people nearly fall ill, and over 400,000 people die from foodborne diseases every single year. This amounts to a loss of 33 million dalis per year that is comparable to the burden of other major diseases such as tuberculosis and malaria. Yet this estimate is, we consider, conservative because it included the study only 31 selected foodborne hazards. We believe that these estimates have made visible that which was invisible. And we believe this information can prove invaluable, not only in highlighting the loss of life and good health and the relevance of our work in that regard, but also the severe consequences of foodborne diseases outbreaks for economies and international trade. We believe this work can be fundamental in helping mobilize further support, visibility for the work of member states and Codex in tackling priority hazards. In this regard, Madam Chair, I'd like to take a second to make a small advertisement for a side event that we'll have on Thursday to highlight the new report, and hope that many of those gathered here today can join us for that event. At that event, we'll provide more detail on the outcomes of the report on the global burden of foodborne diseases so that member states can benefit more from this work and mainstream this issue in their own political agendas. Now, 1 month after we launched that report, we launched, of course, the new Codex Trust Fund, as Dr. Graziano referred to, in January of 2016. As I look back on the impact of the first Codex Trust Fund, I have to say I was incredibly impressed, not only with the amount of work it had done and number of countries it had supported in participating in Codex meetings, but I think more importantly in some of the sustainable results it had delivered, as we have seen that the level of participation of countries in Codex and the Commission's work continued to increase even after they graduated from the trust fund support. For this reason, we see the new trust fund as particularly important. And I think as much as I was delighted by what the first one had achieved and how exciting I thought the new design of the new trust fund was in the way it now works to more sustainable outcomes for the work of the Commission, I was concerned and a little surprised, Madam Chair, to see the limited support that the new trust fund has so far garnered. We think that, of course, is only because it is so new, and like Dr. Graziano da Silva, we trust and hope that the member states, are as committed as we are to ensuring we have additional donors to this and can further strengthen it going forward. Now, another major development of the past year, and Dr. Graziano da Silva has already highlighted this, was, of course, the work in the area of antimicrobial resistance. WHO's World Health Assembly, as you know, adopted in 2015 a global action plan for antimicrobial resistance, which marks a historic landmark in action on this most important issue for both human health and animal health. Now, mindful of the importance of the human-animal interface in this agenda, and especially through the food chain, to contain antimicrobial resistance, the Global Action Plan specifically called upon CODEX to consider new action in this regard. CODEX, again, as Dr. Graziano da Silva highlighted in his remarks, has already played an important role in this regard, for which we're grateful, with the development of several new standards and guidelines to combat AMR. However, it's clear that given the enormity of this issue, the importance of this issue, much more is needed. WHO is especially looking forward to the discussions later this week on this issue and to the agenda which is dedicated to it. Now, the last issue I wanted to comment on, or second to last, was on the adoption earlier this year, by the General Assembly with its declaration of 2016 to 25 as the decade of action on nutrition, with its aim to accelerate action to achieve the SDG targets. In addition to food safety, the Codex standards and guidelines will, of course, play an important role in improving consumers' nutritional well-being and health, and this would be especially relevant in the context of this decade of nutrition. We believe that this presents a unique opportunity for Codex to contribute to the successful implementation of the decade of action on nutrition by taking into account issues related to malnutrition in all its forms. Codex has taken on board a number of actions to address the increasing global health problems of obesity and diet-related non-communicable diseases and developing and updating its standards and guidelines since 2005, when it was requested to implement the WHO Global Strategy on Diet and Physical Activity and Health. But again, as on the last issue, more needs to be done in ensuring coherence between the work of Codex and WHO guidelines and policies to promote healthy diets and global health. This includes, for instance, the implementation of the World Health Assembly resolution, which was adopted just 1 month ago in May, on ending inappropriate promotion of foods for infants and children. Madam Chair, the last issue I'd like to comment on before closing is on the scientific advice on which so many of the Codex standards are based. This advice, which is provided jointly by WHO and FAO, is absolutely critical to the establishment of so many of Codex standards. But of course, with the success and the growing work of Codex, the requests and demands on WHO and FAO are escalating. The demands, especially in terms of scientific advice, they are increasing in the number and the complexity every single year. This, of course, presents an enormous challenge for our organization and for FAO, and one which we work on together to try and address. But in doing so, we depend very largely, of course, on member states and on access and the goodwill of experts, on sufficient support by the scientific secretariat, and, of course, we come back to it again and again, the overall and sustainable funding for this critical work. Discussions have been held by the Commission previously on this issue, and I personally am delighted that we are again going to discuss it this year. And WHO will listen, of course, closely to your advice in exploring what can be done to strengthen the basis and the sustainability of our work in this critical area. So, distinguished delegates, Madam Chair, in closing, again, a huge thank you to all of you for traveling here, some of you great distances, to be part of the Commission's deliberations. And I'd especially like to thank you for the 5 days of your lives that you're giving up for these deliberations. We believe, WHO, that they are that important to demand such an investment of your time. And on behalf of our Director General, our governing bodies, I would like to highlight again the importance we give to these deliberations and the closeness with which we will follow the decisions, not only the deliberations, but also the decisions of the Commission and the standards and guidelines that are adopted. So again, Madam Chair, thank you very much for your leadership over the next 5 days in advance, and to all of you for that work.